for today is in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and beginning at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May God bless his word to our hearts today. We'll be looking at this passage in a few moments. Let's turn once again to Mark chapter 4. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you that we can gather in your house on this Lord's Day. Such a joy to see these folks here in front of me today. We pray your blessings upon each one of them, that you'll meet their needs, meet the need of each and every one of us individually and collectively as a church, that we might do your will. Give us wisdom and understanding in knowing how we can better serve you in these difficult days in which we live. We do pray, our Father, for those who may be ill today. We think of this missionary writing the letter, and of those down in Mexico City that have fallen prey to the virus. We pray for these families that they might be comforted. And we pray for many others. We know all around us there are folks that are suffering from this. We thank you that you have so far delivered us from it. And we just pray for all of those who are suffering because of it. And Lord, help us. Help us to do your will in all of these matters. We just thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us. And pray that you'll bless us today. We pray that you'll supply the needs of those who are looking to you for their daily provisions. We just pray, Lord, that you will open up the way and guide and help us in everything that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight. We do pray, our Father, today for our country. We thank you that we live in a free land, and we just pray that it might remain so. Dear Lord, we are saddened to see many of the things that are taking place in this country today, with all of the violence and unrest and rioting and so many things that are detrimental to our way of life. Oh God, we just pray that somehow our authorities would take responsibility and put down this injustice, and that we might be able to live peaceably in this country. We think of the upcoming election in November, Lord. We know it's a ways off, but still, it'll soon be here. And we just pray your holy will be done concerning this, and that you would continue to pour out your blessings upon our nation. Don't allow us, dear Father, to go the wrong way. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to guide and direct us today, and lead us by your Spirit. Help us that we might walk in fellowship with you and honor your holy name. We do thank you for all of your people, our Father, throughout this land, and those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to stand firm and strong upon your word and do your will. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to guide and direct us now as we look into your word for a few moments. We pray that we might truly receive something that would be helpful to us in these days in which we live. May we not be filled with dread and anxiety and fear. We know that these are things that work against us. So help us to put our faith and trust in you, Lord, and know that you will see us through, and that some sweet day we'll be there in your presence. May that be so. Our Father, may each one of us put this into our minds and hearts today. Thank you for all your grace and all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been looking here in the Gospel of Mark now for some time, and we've arrived here at the end of chapter 4, and we're coming to one of the storms that we find in the Bible, right? Oftentimes we find these storms that take place, and of course, from our point of view, we see storms, not always physical ones, not always material ones, but storms of all kinds, don't we? And we well know that a storm is raging all around us today, right? And here we find the Lord Jesus. We're thinking about this with Jesus in the storm. You know, there's other times when he was not there and the disciples got into a storm without him, okay? But here we find he's with them, okay? So what happens? Now, our story, we see Jesus and his disciples were using a boat for him to minister to the crowd. He got into the boat offshore and was speaking out to the crowds that were there on the shore. And he had been teaching about the kingdom of God in parables to the people and explaining it more fully to his disciples. We saw that last week. And at the end of a very long day, notice, it's a long day. They've been teaching and preaching, and if you've ever spoken very much, you know how tiring it can be. I know usually my wife can tell you, as soon as I eat lunch, I'm out, right? Just pass right out, and this kind of thing. Of course, she may tell you also, I do that on other days also, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, we see here Jesus is tired. He goes to tells his disciples, he says, let us pass over unto the other side. So they get in this fishing boat, probably Peter's. Another time Peter had a boat and Jesus used it, went out and got the fish and so forth. So it could have been Peter's boat. But it says here, let us pass over to the other side. And they took off, but there were other little boats with them. And I was reading about this. It says that these boats held about 15 people. They found some recently, I guess, on the Sea of Galilee there, some of these fishing boats. And they said they hold about 15 people. So there were several other boats. So there were quite a few people present, the disciples and Jesus in one boat, and the others going along with them. And so they dispersed the crowd and began to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And apparently all went well for a while until the storm came. And this apparently was a very great storm. Verse 37 says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This was a serious storm. Somebody called it a super storm. It's like the nor'easters they have come through and destroy everything, you know. Or a hurricane even. But here they are out on the Sea of Galilee. These men, even though they are experienced fishermen, many of them, they are afraid. There's a great storm that's come upon them, and they're all anxious, fighting this, no doubt bailing out the water. It says it's filling up the boat, right? Can you picture yourself there out on the sea with all these waves coming in and the terrible storm? It's bad enough when you're sitting in the house when the storm comes, right, with the lightning and the thunder and everything else, but to be out on the water at a time like this. And it said it was about a 5-mile trip across the Sea of Galilee. Not sure how far they had gotten out, but quite a ways. And they're surrounded by water on every hand and a storm coming from above. My, what a bad scene this would be for anyone. But notice, where was Jesus? In all the midst of all this storm and all of that's going on, the everybody anxious and going about and so forth, where was Jesus? He was asleep in the back part of the boat. Huh? You know, when you pray sometimes, do you wonder where Jesus is? When you pour out your heart to the Lord sometimes and you don't hear anything, sometimes the Lord answers immediately, doesn't he? But other times, we pray and we pray and we pray, and it looks like nothing is happening. Is Jesus asleep? Well, we know he's not, because it tells us over in the Old Testament, right? He's the one who slumbers not. He doesn't sleep. He's always vigilant. He's always listening. Even though he may not answer immediately, he has his own will and way. And so we need to just wait to hear from him. But he was asleep. And so they come to him and they shake him, no doubt. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Hey, are you going to sleep through this storm? What were they expecting him to do? Maybe they thought he ought to get a bucket and start bailing like the rest of them, huh? I don't think that they expected him to do what he did, right? We find here they are so agitated that they wake him up. It's like Jonah. You remember when they were having the storm there, when Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, you remember? And instead, he didn't want to go, so he got on the ship and started going the other direction. And God sent a great storm. But he was down inside the boat, asleep. And they had to come and wake him up and get him up. And he said, well, it's my fault. So they threw him overboard, and then there was a great calm. Well, here we find Jesus asleep. But when they call on him, notice verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Peace be still. Do you see any agitation in the Lord here? Is he worried about this storm? It doesn't seem so, does it? He simply gets up at their request and does what he can do. And what is it that he does? He stills the storm. He goes and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And it tells us that this be still, someone had said that this phrase means be muzzled. It's like you would muzzle a wild animal or something so he won't bite you. Or a dog, sometimes when they get agitated, you have to put a muzzle on them. He says here to the sea, be muzzled. Just quiet it down. Stop it. Peace be still. And sure enough, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Isn't that wonderful? Think here. Who is this man? Well, that's what they say. Who is this man? Now, this is the man that was so tired, he slept through this terrible storm. You see, he was a human being, just like you and me. He got tired and weary. And also, he is more than we are in the sense that he is God himself. Because he could also speak to the wind, to the waves, and say, peace be still. And they obeyed him. You know, we could try that, couldn't we? Get out there on the ocean somewhere and say, oh, quiet down, be still. What do you think would happen? Nothing. It would just continue right on. But Jesus, when he spoke, it made all the difference, didn't it? You know, he can speak peace in the worst time of turbulence. And even in the midst of all that is happening around us, we can have peace in our hearts if we will allow him to give it to us, right? I think it depends on us a lot, doesn't it? What is our attitude towards the coronavirus? Are we scared to death? Well, I mean, it's something to certainly think about and be careful about. We try to be, don't we? And all the other violence that's going on, and we know that it's going to get worse. Sorry to tell you. It tells us in Timothy, in the last days, perilous times are coming, right? And we see them already starting, and it's going to continue to get worse. Well, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to look to Jesus and find his answer and gain his peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Right? Allow him to fill us with his presence. And here, this is what the disciples, at least they went to the right person. You know, they called upon him. Master, Lord, do you care that we're perishing? Not a silly question. You know, it tells us over in Peter, he careth for you. Right? He cares for you. You mean me? Yes, you. He cares for you. And he will answer your prayers. He will help you. He will give you his peace if you will only ask for it. See? That's what they had to do. He had to ask him peace. And he said, peace, be still. And he asked them a question. Notice this. In verse 40. He said to them, why are you so fearful? Well, wouldn't you think, wouldn't it be normal to be afraid? If you're out in the midst of a horrible storm, out on the sea, with nothing to do, and you're far away from the shore, it seems like a strange question, doesn't it? Why are you so fearful? You know? But he says, how is it that you have no faith? So, let's think. Fear and faith. Are they the same thing? What would you call that? I think there are be opposites, wouldn't they? Either you are filled with fear or you're filled with faith. Faith in God. Trusting him. Knowing that he is going to work it all out. Now, we don't know how. And they certainly didn't see any way out of this. But they called upon Jesus and he set everything straight, didn't he? He put everything in its proper place. And he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, in some of the other accounts, we find it says, O ye of little faith, right? But here he says to them, why is it that you have no faith? You know, let's realize that we need to have faith in God. It's by faith that we're saved, right? By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's also by faith that we walk. He says, walk in faith and allow the grace of God to fill us and to help us in these situations that we might be able to face all of these things. Yeah, as I was reading this, account. It made me think of the song. I had this from before. But anyway, we don't usually sing it anymore, I don't think. I don't know if it's in the hymn book or not. But it's called Master, the Tempest is Raging. Have you heard that song? Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening our grave in the angry deep? The refrain is then, the winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. And we find Jesus had said when they first got in the boat, let us pass over onto the other side. And now here, they are afraid they're going to drown. And Jesus says, where's your faith? Why are you so afraid? Did I not say we're going to pass over to the other side? So why are we afraid? And the Lord has promised to be with us always. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. As long as you live as a believer in Jesus Christ, he is with you, right? He's in you. He will guard you and help you and protect you and be with you in every situation of life. So we have nothing to fear. But then, notice afterwards, the last verse here, it says, and they feared exceedingly. Did you see that? He asked them before, what are you afraid of? They were afraid of the storm. But then when the storm was calmed, it says they feared exceedingly. They were more afraid than ever because of what Jesus did. This was the first time that they had experienced this. They had seen him heal the sick and open the eyes of the blind and things like that. And they knew that he had great power. But they had not seen this, where he could quiet the very forces of nature. You see? And so they are said, they were feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we find that he is able to control even nature. Over in Psalm 89 it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is the strong Lord like unto thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. See? Speaking about God, right? And this is the very thing that Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee, wasn't it? He stilled the raging waves and the wind came to a halt. So like the ancient Israelites were afraid in the presence of God, so the disciples were afraid in the presence of the Lord Jesus as he showed forth his power and who he really was. So what lessons can we learn from this passage? Well, we learn to listen closely to the Word of God and believe what it says. Right? Jesus had said, let's pass over to the other side. Well, did they hear him when he said that? Well, they may have. But they thought, well, you know, extenuating circumstances, it may change now, right? We have God's word that he has given us so graciously that we can read day by day. We can learn and we can follow. We can obey and be able to manage our lives. But we need to listen closely. James says, look into the law of liberty. Continue therein. Don't be like the man that looks in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like, you know. He says, make sure you are listening closely to what God's word says, right? And be obedient to it. Then we see the storms of life will come. The storms of life will come. And many times, when we are least expecting them, right? You know, everything's going along so nice. Everything's smooth and you're just enjoying life so much, and what happens? All of a sudden, the storm comes, doesn't it? And turns everything upside down, right? Just like this virus. Appears out of nowhere, apparently. We don't know where it came from. I mean, it's hard to say. But whatever in life comes, the storms, just all of a sudden, they are there. What are we going to do? Cringe? Sit in a corner somewhere and hope it goes away? That's what, you know, the natural way of looking at it. But the thing is, Jesus is always with us. As you saw, he was here in the boat, right? And if we're Christians, even though we may not sense his presence, we may not realize, you know, he's with us, but he is. You know, we talk about one of the expressions that we use, we receive Christ, right? Receive Christ as our Savior, right? So if we have received him, he is with us, right? The scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see? So if Jesus is with us, then we have nothing to fear. We can just look to him. And he's always with us. He will never leave us. And we can enjoy his presence if we're lonely. Think about it in that way. Then we say the Lord is concerned about us and our needs. We never have to worry that he doesn't care. He does care. Now he, like I said, he has his own will and purpose, and sometimes he does make us suffer, don't he? Or we find it somewhere. It comes. I'm not trying to say that if you follow Jesus, you never suffer. This world is full of suffering. We know that. But the point is that God does care for us. Jesus cares for us. And he's with us. And he will see us through in whatever way he sees fit, you see. When we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he's the one who is in charge. And we are to be obedient to his will and allow him to lead us in every way. So the Lord is concerned. And we have the wonderful privilege of crying out to him at any time, you know. You can wake up in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and pray to Jesus. You know, he's not asleep. He's listening. It says that he's sitting at the right, Father's right hand, and he intercedes for us. Right? He's concerned about us, and he's always available. Doesn't matter when it is, he's always there. We don't have to necessarily get into a special place. You don't have to come to church to pray. You can pray at home. You can pray in your car. You can pray wherever you want to pray. Right? Jesus is everywhere, right? And we can look to him and have our needs met. We have a wonderful privilege praying. He is willing and able to calm any storm and give peace of mind and heart. As I said, God works in mysterious ways. Okay. He doesn't always do what we ask him to do. But he always does the right thing. How's that? And so he's able to see us through. And we just need to submit ourselves to him and allow him to accomplish his will and purpose. Hopefully he will calm the storm and we can get through it. But sometimes you have to go all the way through the storm, right? You have to weather the storm and come out on the other side. But the Lord is there. He's with us to help us in every situation of life. What manner of man is this? He said. He is the Almighty Creator. He's the Savior of all who receive him, and the Judge to whom we must give account. So let us bow before him in worship and praise. Trust him. He is all sufficient to meet every need. So we can just say praise the Lord. Amen. Look to him. Do you have a special need today? I'm sure you probably do. Jesus is able to meet that need. Are you willing to trust him for it? He does care. He does care for you. So let him take away your burden and replace it with his peace. Just like he pronounced peace over the storm and over the sea, he's able to calm our spirit. So we're willing to face whatever comes in life and look to him for our needs. So yield yourself completely to him. Allow Jesus to be your life, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord. We close with this other song I have here. It says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the oceans wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will when thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to our hearts today. We pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us. Help us to look to you in every storm of life, or even when everything is tranquil. May we always walk in fellowship with you and be faithful to you. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen.